You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 323 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week, we're going to talk about a new vulnerability in the locks that many hotels use worldwide. Plus, I'm going to share a way for you to test to see if your hotel lock is vulnerable. So next time you head to a hotel, I'll show you an easy way to see how vulnerable your locks are.
So tomorrow for me.
And for me as well. Yes, exactly. So I will be testing mine for sure. And then in our Aware Much segments, we'll discuss why you may not always remain anonymous on the popular company review site Glassdoor. So be careful what you say about your current or former employer. Don't burn bridges, right?
Yes.
So first, I want to welcome my two co-hosts, the great Scott Wright and Kevin Johnson.
Hello, folks.
Both of you are great.
I for some reason, I heard great.
The two grape. The two grape. Scott and Kevin.
When we squeeze us, we're juice.
Stop whining.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was bad. Boom. That was really bad.
Shots fired.
Oh, man.
So let's talk about hotel locks.
Yes.
So there's this flaw, which I don't know why people name this stuff the way they name it, but Unsaflock, I guess, because the company that makes the lock, I guess the brand of locks is called Saflock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you pronounce
probably
it?
Probably Saflock.
I don't know.
Saflock. Yeah. There's
don't,
no
don't
e.
you love it when people name their companies things that you can't phonetically pronounce?
Or,
I assumed it was Saflock.
Well, it could be Saflock or Unsaflock.
Well,
let's call it Unsaflock flaw in millions of hotel doors. So this vulnerability actually affects 3 million doors, 1,300 properties across 131 countries. So that's pretty significant. Yeah. That's a lot of hotels. In fact, when I saw the picture of the door locks, which is one of the techniques that you can use to see when you go to a hotel, it's kind of got not the branding, but you know, the little area where you touch your card has like a little design.
Yeah. There's unique design elements to the locks. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this vulnerability basically allows you to copy the key. So if you're an attacker, right, you get a hotel room, you take your key, you copy it. But when you make a copy of the key, the vulnerability allows you to create a master key that basically opens up all the doors in the hotel.
That's convenient. So,
I think it's interesting that it only needs one key.
Yeah,
right.
Typically, right, that you need more than that. They've not given a ton of details that I've found.
No. Right? I think on purpose. Right?
Yeah. It seems that they are saying that's why they're doing it. But they appear to have figured out the process and cloned the software that manages the keys.
Yes.
And so by doing that, they're able to generate the master, right? Because the software controls
it. Said it was a vulnerability in the key derivation function, right? So,
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right? Like, what is it? Kirchhoff's principle, right? That an encryption algorithm should be secure, even if everything is known about it except for the key. And as far as I can tell, here is an encryption algorithm. That's what they're using, right? That they've not made public.
Yeah.
Right. And that, so, we've said, I just said it yesterday.
Proprietary encryption.
Roll your own security.
Anytime that you say, I have encryption, but I can't tell you how it works because of security, it's not secure.
Now, what's interesting too is that it's using the MyFair Classic cards. So, and I had thought that those had vulnerabilities in the past. And I do remember, wasn't like the Massachusetts subway system that was using MyFair Classic cards and someone found a way to bypass? It was probably a DEFCON talk, I think.
Yeah. That sounds
you could bypass.
I remember the talk. I just don't remember that it was Boston.
Yeah. But, I just, and maybe we'll do a little more research for our listeners, but like I do believe that there were other vulnerabilities in My Fair Classic cards.
Itself has actually come out and said, look, this is one of the, we're highlighting one of the issues with legacy systems. And,
yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fact that this is a piece of software that's been around for, what did they say, 36 years?
Yes.
Which is interesting to me, because if you had said to me that type of lock was 36 years old, I would have been like, no, there's no way. Because it doesn't feel like it's been around that long.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm wrong. True. Right. You know, but yeah, so when I read that, I was like, 36 years.
Yeah.
I found it interesting in the article that there's no mention of security patches or updates, or how you would actually, if they had a fix for it, you know, would you have to update a server on site, or is it a SaaS based solution?
Well, they said they update this. It looks like they're doing an update to the software on site, like the actual, like Kevin had said, the software that programs the cards.
Right.
But then they're issuing new cards
as well. New cards too, yeah. So it could be a vulnerability in the card.
Well, it's the software, yeah. But also I think the card is part of the problem.
Yeah, I guess getting rid of the My Fair Classic card, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So they're probably replacing it with something more secure. Yeah. And the company name, Dormakaba, is that the name? Is that how you pronounce it?
Again.
All these weird names. What's going on?
Dormakaba.
What's going on?
I can barely pronounce Kevin.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But to your point about legacy systems, you know, physical security systems, and I just remember this from when I was doing physical pen tests back in the day, they still just use these systems from like decades ago, because why update them? It's kind of the thing of like, why fix it if it's not broken? It just works. All it does all day is issue key cards, right? So why change it? Right.
Well, and as we know, right, and I'm not, it's okay not to change it. I'm just saying that any upgrade to a core system for a business is a massive undertaking. Right.
Oh, and, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about hotel chains that have two hotels or, right? We're talking about chains that have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of rooms, right? What do they say? Millions of doors?
Yeah. 3 million.
And that's an undertaking. I'm not, again, not saying, oh, it's okay, but that makes sense. There is, you know, there are costs to doing these upgrades. There's costs to maintaining these systems beyond just buying the software and the hardware. You have to train the people. You have to make sure that the new system works just as well as the old system. Because let me be clear, you have a random person that comes to your hotel and can't get into their room at 2 a.m. They're not going to care that you upgraded a security issue. They're going to care that they're sitting outside their hotel room and can't get in. From a customer service perspective, it's critical.
Yeah, but it's also critical that, you know, the main reason that the hotels are there is to provide a bit of security for somebody when they're traveling and, you know.
I actually disagree with
you. Oh,
okay. Hotels are not there to provide security. And you can tell that when they tell you that none of your valuables left in the room are their responsibility.
Well, right? But the perception of the customers.
Right. But we can talk perception, but the reality is they don't. It's not that they don't care about security, but their service is not security. And here we have a lock. The articles themselves, and I don't know how accurate this is, the articles themselves say there are no known exploits for this. Other than this one group of people who have come out way to do it. Now, do I believe that? Do I believe there's people that know it? Yes, I totally believe that people know it. But if you go to a hotel and say, let's just guess that the locks are $100, right? And you know as well as I do, they're not $100. But let's just say they're $100. Hi, $300 million. And you have to do it. And that's just for the locks.
Yeah.
And the manpower to replace them.
Yeah.
The training that you're going to have to do. And when the hotel comes back and says, why do I need to do this? And you're like, well, there's this undisclosed vulnerability that we can't tell you how bad it is, except that we can bypass it and create a master key, which sounds really bad. But we don't know anybody who's done it. We've never seen anybody hack it. But honest, it's bad.
Yeah. But
I understand the hotel saying, bite me.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. But I mean, if I'm a traveler and I have a choice of going to a hotel that has insecure locks versus one that has secure locks, I think I'm going to go to the one with the secure locks.
You and I both, but I will guarantee you that you and I are the minority of hotel guests, right? Hell, I've stayed in hotels where the bottom of the door had been kicked in so hard that I could lay in my bed and look out into the hallway, and I stayed at the hotel.
You'd freeze to death up here in Canada if that happened.
Yes, you're right. I would freeze to death in Canada, but I wasn't in Canada. I was in San Diego. And,
yeah. Well, I've been locked out of my room so before, yep. And they've brought the drill up.
Yeah, it's not easy to get there.
Yeah, because the backup battery, I guess, or whatever, has failed, and the guy's charger wouldn't work on the connection, and so he had a drill ready to go to drill out the lock so I can get in my room, but luckily we finagled the battery to get that working and to recharge it.
Yeah. I've never had them have to bring the drill out. I've been locked out of rooms. I've reset my key by accident. I've done all that kind of stuff. We don't need to get into the story of me in my underwear in the hallway in Washington.
No, that
maybe not. Podcast. Maybe not.
Yeah, we're good with that. But if you are curious, next time you go to a hotel, so there's this app you can download for Android and for iOS. It's called NFC Tag Info app, and there's a couple different apps that do the same kind of thing. And you can check your key card type. So you basically just take your hotel key card next to your phone, it reads it because of the NFC chip in your phone, and you're looking for a MyFair Classic card. So it'll identify the type through the app, and that is that legacy card that is the issue, essentially, or part of the issue, and most likely indicates that there is a vulnerability probably with the lock. And then in the show notes, we'll show you a picture of what the locks look like, and if you know the card matches up to MyFair and you've got that exact lock on your room, yeah, probably vulnerable.
It's likely. So, especially since they are replacing the cards, right?
Like, yes, exactly.
I read one comment on Reddit or whatever where they were like, well, you know, that won't find it because the card will be the same. It's like, no, they're explicitly replacing the cards.
So. Right. Yep, exactly. Fun stuff. Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today. All right, Scott. Well, it's time to let Kevin get excited now because it is his favorite segment, which is Aware Much.
Yes, Tom. You know, some people actually ask me, Scott, how did you come up with the name Aware Much? You know, how did it come to be? It's a funny story because Tom and I were discussing, you know, whether or not I should keep running those boring, poorly produced video ads for ClickArmor. And I thought maybe ClickArmor could sponsor a segment that was focused on awareness. And then I thought of Stephen Colbert's segments like Meanwhile and all these other ones, right? And all these other things. It just popped into my head.
Yes.
Aware Much. I could just imagine Tom saying it and Kevin giggling. And
yeah, totally. Now you don't have to imagine.
And now here we are.
Tom says it and I giggle.
Almost every week. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir. So now on with the segment. When people want to know the dirt on a company that they might want to go work for, where's the first place they're going to go? Glassdoor, right?
Glassdoor.
LinkedIn.
you don't see a lot of dirt on LinkedIn. Sometimes you do, I guess. And people value the insights from those on the inside who post about their experiences working in a particular company. But nobody's going to post if they think their boss might find out. So Glassdoor has always been known for its anonymity of the posters. And so we're here to report that no more will Glassdoor accounts be guaranteed to be anonymous. Apparently, they're using names. They're collecting names during registration, but they say they're not shared. But you didn't used to have to provide a name, I guess, as you created your account. But this is actually happening as a result of the acquisition of Fishbowl by Glassdoor. And that's because Fishbowl has some social features that didn't exist, I think, previously in Glassdoor. And now they kind of want to link people up and know who they are. And even I understand it, there's a way to start a conversation with somebody at a company you might want to go work at, which is kind of interesting. But wouldn't it be tempting for Glassdoor to start selling user information once people start putting their names in? What do you guys think?
You mean they're not already?
I was going to say.
Well, if you weren't required to put your name in.
Yeah, but as we've talked about before, right? Like de-anonymization, and I want to be very clear. I'm not saying it's okay that Glassdoor is doing this. I'm just saying de-anonymization of data, especially for a site that has access to their own logs, right?
Yeah.
That's trivial. I mean, like right off the bat, they could subscribe to Zoom Info or one of those types of
services. Map your email address and all that.
Done. Yeah. Easily. Right? So I don't know that they're not already selling it. I think the way they're doing this is messed up. If this is true, the way they're handling it, as far as I can tell, right now, this is just people claiming that they're seeing this, and Glassdoor's frequently asked questions still says that they're not tracking this stuff, right? So, and I'm not saying they're not lying. I'm saying we have to at least acknowledge that these are people reporting problems, and the company, whether they're actively denying it or they haven't updated their frequently asked question. I do agree that there's no way they can really add social network capabilities without having some level of names associated with it. Somebody who has posted about a previous employer on Glassdoor, I don't care if my name is associated with it. But I also don't mind burning bridges. So,
yeah. Right? And if that's what you accept, sure. Exactly. Absolutely.
But I'm weird.
And we can't all be like Kevin, right? So.
No, you don't want everybody to be like Kevin. Like, if they're really doing this, it's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the idea that, like, at least one of the people reported they wrote a email to do a support ticket, and Glassdoor took their full name from the email and associated with the account. That's sketchy.
There's a really interesting quote in one of the articles we're highlighting where Albert Foxconn says, "You can't be both verified and anonymous," right? And it's in our mind, just based on our discussion and Kevin's, highlighting the point, it's kind of a spectrum, right? You get a little bit of information about somebody, you can map it, and maybe they're not so anonymous. But the more important thing is it's hard to be a social network and a confidentiality reporting space at the same time. He says you can do one of those well, or you can do them both badly. I thought that was good.
Yep. Yeah. It's the same thing as like anonymous voting, right? The vote is secret, but we want to verify that your vote was counted. We can't do both. You can't have pure, true secrecy and validation, right?
Yeah. Point.
And this is just another example of that. I would like to believe, but history has proven me wrong in this belief too many times. I would like to believe this is just a bad merger. It was a mistake made. They were building features, merging softwares, and somebody screwed up. That's what I'd like to believe. But I don't know. I don't believe that.
There could be enough, imagine there could be enough outcry that they decide, okay, we need two separate services or some way of trying to appease people who really need to be anonymous. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that or not. So,
yeah. I mean, I think they've, merged with that company because they had to change their business plan because they're probably not making money any other way. And, all of these apps that say that you're anonymous on end up either going out of business or there's some major security flaw that's revealed that exposes some information to identify people, almost every single one.
Or you find out that they were purposely lying about being anonymous.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That too.
Yeah. Those are the only three options I know of.
Right.
But Glassdoor's terms of use says the company may use information obtained from third parties to update profiles along with personal data provided on resumes or elsewhere in its service, and it may attempt to verify employment history. So all that information, you know, brought together is a pretty big, if not a target, then something that could be exposed, right?
It is. So,
anyways, well, this installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor, the first interactive security platform that trains people on things like human risk management. It's more than just security awareness now. It's role-based training, remedial training, and even tabletop exercises. So come and talk to me at clickarmor.ca. And I'd also like to announce that one of our hosts here, Tom, is going to be on our next live cybersecurity awareness forum on, if you're around by the time this thing airs, probably will be.
You will be.
Yeah, on April 10th. Sorry, April 3rd. That's right. So you can join us as we talk about the value that red teaming brings to the security awareness program. So I think that'll be a fun one. And you can sign up at clickarmor.ca/CSAF. That's it for this installment of Aware Much.
Thank you, Scott. All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for this week, gentlemen. But I did want to give a plug for our last episode, which was with Alyssa Miller. A very popular episode, by the way.
Yes, I can imagine.
Go figure with Alyssa being on the show. But yeah, that episode was great. Really enjoyed talking with her and getting her insights. And of course, hearing this great stories about Kevin. I mean, that's worth the listen alone.
I don't know about that.
I do. So we'll link that as well and check that out for sure. And then also just to promote our Patreon. So we would greatly appreciate your support. You can support us for only $3 a month as an official supporter of the podcast. So you can check that out at patreon.com/sharedsecurity. Be greatly appreciated. All right. Well, I guess we will see you all next week, except for I won't see you next week, Kevin. You're going to be traveling, right?
I think you're out. I am traveling quite a bit. I'm leaving tomorrow for San Diego. I'll get back on Sunday, and then I leave Wednesday, go to Omaha.
Ooh.
And then I go from Omaha directly to Tampa.
Fun.
And then I come back from that, and then I'm actually taking 2.5 days off.
Good for you. Good for you.
We will see.
All right. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. And until next time, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.